Let's turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 51. Father, we thank you as we approach your word. We do so reverently, but with deep hunger for the truth in our hearts. We thank you that what we are about to look at this morning did not come by the will of any man. It came by your will. For Bible says there is no portion of prophecy that came by the will of man. But they spoke as they were moved by your spirit. And so what we are looking into this morning is what you have spoken. And we have ears to hear what you have to say to us, dear Father. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding and help us not just to be hearers of your word only, but to be doers as well, so that our profiting may appear to all men. For in Jesus' name we pray, everyone says, amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 51. We're going to be looking at something very simple this morning. Simple but powerful. You see, the word of God is simple, but it is always powerful. It can transform our lives. It can take us from where we are to where God wants us to be. That's the power of the word of God. It can change us and bring us to the fullness of the blessings that God has prepared for us. See, the reason God has given us his word is that by the word we might have access to the resources of God that are available for us as Christians. And here in Isaiah chapter 51, we see something very, very simple but profound. I'll read from verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Now, before we read on, let me quickly make this clear that what we are about to read here was spoken originally to the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Babylon. They had gone into captivity because of their disobedience. But we begin to see the God of compassion still visiting his people and promising to help them and get them back to the place from where they had been taken. The promised land that he gave to them, from where the enemy had come to take them away to Babylon in captivity. You see, that's an encouragement to you and to me as Christians. It doesn't matter how many times we miss the mark. God is still reaching out to us. God is not like man that abandons us. And many people don't even give you a second chance. One chance. In fact, they barely give you one chance. The moment you miss that chance, they write you off. But God is not like that. Jesus tells us that he's such a loving shepherd that if he had 100 sheep and one went missing, he will leave the 99 that were saved and will go after that one that was missing and will not rest until he had found that missing one and then bring it back to the fold on his shoulders. That's the heart of God for us. The compassion of God. So God will still be reaching out to us, but there is, as we shall see here, there is a need for us. While God is reaching out to us in our disobedience, there is a need for us to repent and obey him now so that the restoration can take place. And that's what God is saying to them here. Because out of the people that had been taken away to Babylon, there was still a handful that was seeking God, even in the captivity. You know, many of them, when they went into captivity, they will erect what was called in those days synagogues. Synagogues were just temporary places of worship. They were not temples, but they were places that they could gather together to still worship God. And so those of them who were still seeking God in captivity, God is sending his prophet to them to encourage them that this is not where you are going to perish. I'm going to bring you out of captivity and restore you back to your own land. This is the heart of God for us. But they needed to do something. They needed now to respond with faith. They needed to receive the word of God and believe it. That's why God is sending his word to them through his prophet. And as we shall see clearly here, God is encouraging them to begin to look back to how he dealt with their father Abraham faithfully. And to understand that that faithfulness will be extended to them in their generation too, if they are willing to obey him. God is no respecter of persons. Well, what is the application to us today? Put your finger right here. That is why we have to understand the Bible very well. Some people will close the book on that and say, well, God spoke it to the Israelites and that's the end of it. God spoke it to you too. While he was speaking it then, he had you in mind. While he was speaking it to them then, he had you and I that will become Christians in our generation in mind. How do we know that? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. We need to understand Bible clearly. Today many people will read many portions of the Old Testament and just say, well, that's no longer applicable to us. Well, they are ignorant. They are just ignorant of the truth. God said, my people perish because of ignorance, lack of knowledge. Because if we really know God, we'll understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New. The Old Testament is in the New Testament. If you study many places in the Bible under the New Testament, you find quotations from the Old Testament there. So the Old Testament has not passed away. The problem is that people did not understand it, and so God has brought a greater degree of understanding under the new by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And when God was calling Abraham, don't you realize he called you too at that time? Someone says, but I wasn't born then. Yeah, you were in existence in the spirit. Just waiting to take a human flesh and come to this world. Because God knew you from the foundation of the world, Bible says, and chose you. Because he knew that you would eventually accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. So he chose you from the foundation of the world to be blameless in him. So no matter the sin you commit, God already paid the price for your salvation even before Adam sinned. Before Adam sinned, God made the solution for every sin that you and I would ever commit. And that's why he will never let go of us. He will keep coming back to us because he is the covenant-keeping God. And here in Galatians chapter 3, we see very clearly that I will encourage you when you get home, study the whole chapter. You'll find out that actually when God was making the promise to Abraham, Bible says, right there in Galatians chapter 3, bringing us revelation of what they did not understand under the old, that when God made that promise to Abraham, God promised him that he would have that same covenant with his seed after him. And Bible explained there that that seed was Christ. Because God used singular seed, not seeds. Why? Because just as God said, in you, Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God was planning that in Christ shall all of humanity be blessed. As many as come to him will be blessed. You see the key? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter what nation you originate from. If you believe in Christ, you become the family of God. It doesn't matter what your background may be. If you come in Christ, you become the family of God. Just as God chose Abraham to be the one in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, in the very last verse in chapter 3, let us read it. In fact, let us read it for the sake of context. From verse 26 to verse 29. Let's read together. Let's go. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Look at that verse 29. Are you in Christ today? Then you are Abraham's seed. And you are here according to the promise. So you can go to every promise that concerns Abraham and the children of Abraham under the old covenant and claim it today in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil talk you out of the blessing and say, well, that passed away with the Jews. Don't mention that one. It doesn't belong to you. That's the devil robbing you. God says, if you are in Christ, you are an heir according to the promise he made to Abraham. And for instance, part of that promise is that God will bless him and he will be a blessing. So God will bless you and you will be a blessing. God will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You don't need to go and curse them yourself. God will take care of that for you because that's part of the covenant. That's why God says, don't avenge yourself. Vengeance is mine. But you know how our flesh is. It's like, well, let me pay them back in their own coin. I'll give them a piece of what they've given so that they can taste how bitter it is. No, don't do that. Love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Why? Because God knows how to deal with them. When you obey God, you are heaping a coal of fire upon them, Bible says. You are putting them in an uncomfortable situation because they are expecting you to react. But now you are not reacting. They are now in a situation where they are feeling guilty because the devil can't proceed further. And God can then penetrate their heart and bring them to repentance. Hallelujah. But if you are avenging yourself, well, God cannot intervene. The devil will have a field day. It's like now playing chess. You make a move, they make a move, and then you make a move. And it's going from bad to worse. Oh, don't do that. Just remember, God has made a promise. You are heir of that promise. God told Abraham, don't avenge yourself. I will bless those who bless you. My eyes see everyone. And you know the blessing is not just about physical blessing. Even the thought of the heart. God knows those who have a clean heart towards you. He will bless them. God knows those who have an evil heart toward you. He will deal with them. Just leave them in God's hands. Hallelujah. Now let's go back then to Isaiah 51. So you begin to see that what we are looking at in Isaiah belongs to you and me. Don't let the devil rob us of what belongs to us. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise. The promises God made to Abraham belong to you, because when God made the promise to Abraham, he was actually thinking of Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, in whom all of humanity will be blessed by faith in him. Now, Isaiah 51. Again, what we are looking at here is consistent with the word God gave to us to run with this year. The God of comfort. Hallelujah. He will comfort you. He will comfort me. He will comfort not only you, but all aspects of your life. We are 3/4 through the year, so to say, and God is still on the throne. He is the God of comfort. Okay, so again, here in verse 1, God told those who are following after righteousness. Now we can say he's talking to us because we are the people that know the righteousness of God today through faith in Jesus Christ. Those who seek the Lord, are we not the people who seek the Lord through faith in Christ Jesus? Okay, so it applies to us. Then it says, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham. In case we are wondering what is God saying in verse 1, he explains himself in verse 2. You see, God is not the author of confusion. So God says, well, look to Abraham. Think back. You know the history of how I called Abraham and I called his wife Sarah. When they were single with no child, they were just alone. I called them just like that and I made them great. I called them, I took them from nobody and made them great. I took them when they had nothing and made them to have everything. Isn't that an encouragement? That God can take you and me, take us from nobody and having nothing, make us great, make us to have everything. If we would simply follow him like Abraham followed him by faith. That's the responsibility of faith. So they are in captivity and God is coming to encourage them. Don't lose hope. Don't think that your life is going to end in captivity. No, I'm going to take you like I took your father Abraham, bring you back to the land and bless you again and make you great again. You can look at all your life, every setback you've been through, and begin to look to God and say, God, I thank you. You're about to turn everything around for me. Based on his promise. This is where faith comes in. Don't count your losses and think, oh, how I wish I never went through that. Well, it doesn't matter what you've been through. God knows how to turn things around for you. Stop looking at the past. Look ahead. The better days are ahead of you, not behind you. So they might have been sitting down there in captivity in Babylon, wondering, oh God, how come we blew it? Oh, we lost. Oh, now we're in the land of captivity. And our good land there, we had plenty. Look at here now, we're in bondage. We are slaves. We can't even do our own thing. We have to obey what they say to us in this land of captivity. God is saying, that's about to end. A change is coming because I'm going to turn it around for you. Just look to me because I'm the same God that promised the land to your father Abraham, and I took him from where he was as nobody and made him great. You are his children. You are part of the covenant. And if you are a Christian, you are part of that covenant. God can turn your life around. God can make all things that the enemy has brought against you to be contrary to you. God can turn them around to work for you. He knows how to make all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 28, how come we quote that scripture and don't believe it? We quote it all the time. Oh, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then the next moment I look at my bank account and I lose hope. Oh, God have mercy on us. Where is the faith? Jesus will be asking us like he was asking his disciples, where is your faith? How come you are acting like an unbeliever? Where's your faith? Some of us today buy newspaper which we have not been buying before in order to monitor all the economy. You know, don't go and read economic forecast in the Bible. In the newspaper. Go to the Bible and get your own forecast there. Your forecast is what we are reading this morning. Not what the people of the world are saying. Oh, the economy is on the downturn. Oh, there's economic depression. We are going back to Victorian days. No, I'm not going back to Victorian days. I'm moving forward to the glorious destiny. Hallelujah. Because if you listen to the people of the world, you lose your faith. It's the devil walking through them to rob you of your own inheritance. You are in the world. You are not of the world. You are of God. Get your own vision from the word of God. Oh, I don't care how the economy of the world depresses. Or is depressed. I'm rising up to great heights in the Lord. That's what God expects of us. So it's time for us as Christians to begin to look into the word of God and agree with God's word, because God has the power to perform his word if he finds faith in us. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. We don't lean on our own understanding. Even in famine, God's word says we will be satisfied. In famine, there is lack. Isn't that so? But God says we will be satisfied. In fact, put your finger there. Let's encourage our hearts. Go with me to Psalm chapter 37. You see, God has promises for us, but we are the ones that are not taking advantage of those promises because we are listening to what the people of the world are saying. And the devil is using that to distract us from the word of God. And at the end of the day, we are as hopeless as they are, because there's no hope for them, because they don't have God. But you and I have God. We have hope. It's time to see it the way God says it is. Hallelujah. All right. Psalm chapter 37. Let us just, for the sake of time, look at verses 18 and 19. Let's read those two verses together. Let's go. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Is that not the word of God? Did God say in the days of famine they shall suffer lack like everybody else? God knows the way of the upright, the righteous which you are in Christ Jesus. He knows. He has prepared our own way for us. We are in the world. We are not of the world. Our inheritance will never dwindle. It says it shall be forever. But the inheritance of the people of the world doesn't last forever. Sometimes you see them rich today, tomorrow they become poor. In fact, I see some people that are very rich. After they die, their children will fight over their inheritance and the house will be ruined. All the inheritance will be ruined. In fact, the house that used to be great will become a house of nobody. But for you, the God of covenant will keep things going for you. And this is where our faith comes in. Because we have to believe the word of God and expect him to do what he has promised. How is he going to do it? I don't know. But I know he knows how to do it. I just believe him. And I just have to keep believing him. Someone says, well, I've been believing him for a month now, but things have not changed. God didn't set time to this thing. The just shall live by faith. What if you haven't got it in a month's time? That doesn't matter. Just keep believing. The day is coming. God told Habakkuk, wait for it. It's an appointed time, even though it tarries, just wait for it. It will happen in your lifetime. The word of God will come to pass for you. Just wait on it. Hallelujah. Don't give up. So let's go back now to Isaiah 51. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Verse 2 again says, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone. I called him one person. I blessed him. He became many nations. I called him without anything. I made him to have everything. Bible says God made Abraham to be rich in cattle, in everything. God made him to be rich. So this is what God is using to encourage them. You are in captivity. you that follow after righteousness, you that seek me, begin to look at how I dealt with Abraham, your father. I'm going to deal with you exactly the same way. I'm going to turn things around for you. But you have to believe just like Abraham, your father, believed. Because the Bible says Abraham believed God. He left his father's house. Left just as God said he should leave. And God was able to keep his own part of the bargain. Once you do your part, God never fails on his own part. Your part is to believe. God's part is to perform. Hallelujah. Now verse 3, that's where we are going before we pray this morning. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Oh, they may be in pain and in sorrow in Babylon right now. But God is saying, I will comfort you. You might have been enslaved, but God said, I will comfort you. You might have been oppressed, but God said, I will comfort you. That word comfort, I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance of the Bible. So if you have that, you can look at it when you get home. The word translated comfort there literally means pity. So God says, I will pity you. It means to console. God says, I will console you. And interestingly, it also means to avenge. I love that. Not only will I pity you and console you, but I will also avenge you. In other words, all those who have made you to suffer, they will have to pay back. God will make you receive compensation for all the sufferings you've been through. That's why I always say, well, when the devil begins to mess up with the righteous, the devil is the one in trouble. Because he's about to lose some substance of his house. Remember? That's what the Bible says. When a thief is caught, he shall be made to pay back sevenfold. He shall repay with all the substance of his house. God knows how to bring his word to pass. That's why we have to trust in God and simply obey him. No matter what we have been through in life, God is able to turn things around for us. He's able to turn things around. We don't consider our losses. We consider our blessings in God. Because God is able to turn the losses into blessings. Hallelujah. So, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. Zion, there is a type of the church, which you and I are in Christ Jesus. Because that was the city of David, a man after God's heart. Hallelujah. And we thank God. Many times God just refers to his people as Zion, because of the mountains that are there also. God fortified that city of Jerusalem, and it will fortify your life and my life also by his glorious presence. But the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all our waste places. Well, you might have been thinking, I've wasted so many years of my life. There are many things that if I had known, I should not have done, because I've wasted so much time. Well, God says he will comfort even those waste places. How are you going to do it, oh God? Don't bother yourself about that. You don't know. But God knows how to do it. I will comfort all our waste places. The enemy might have damaged so much in your land, but I'm about to restore everything and take you back there. You are not going to go back to the land and be toiling. No, I'm going to take you back to a land that is restored by me. You know, originally when God took them into the promised land, remember what the Bible says? When they entered into that promised land, there was food already prepared for them. That year, and that was the time manna stopped, because they ate from the corn of the new land that year. How did it appear there? Because God made the people that he drove out already plant and prepare blessing for the children of Israel that are coming to take the land. Then God drove them out. And the children of Israel inherited the labor of those that were dwelling in the land. And that was the year God stopped supplying manna, because now there is corn to eat on the earth. God is marvelous. He's a wonderful God. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all our waste places. And he will make a wilderness like Eden. I love that. You know, wilderness talks about, you know, what we can call jungle today, where everything is disorganized, where we can say it's not habitable, so to say, because everything is just wild. Nothing is ordered. Everything is disorderly. But God says, I will comfort even the wilderness, which means I will turn the wilderness into a place of order and blessing. You know, Eden was a place that God planned himself. Everything was in good order. Everything was perfect until sin came. And God had to kick Adam and Eve out of Eden. But God says, well, you, my people, in captivity, who have been suffering and who have been oppressed, I'm about to visit you and turn things around for you and turn things around for your land. I'm taking you back. Your life is changing and your place of dwelling is changing for the better. And next, look at this. And a desert, like the garden of the Lord. Dry places. Places where you've been wondering, oh, how is this going to change for the better? I've toiled and toiled and toiled. I can't see the fruit of my labor. I've done the best. Where is the fruit? God says, well, you're about to see the fruit. How will the desert become a fruitful land? Only God can do that. You and I know that when you put seed in desert, you are just wasting your seed. It's dry. But God knows how to irrigate the desert and turn it into a fruitful land. So God will literally change all areas of your life for the better. That's what God is saying. And are you ready to believe him? Forget about what the people of the world are saying. Focus on what God has said. God is about to turn your life around for the better. And it's not going to be by your human effort. No, it's going to be by the hand of God himself. The same God that planted Eden. Adam didn't plant it. Didn't toil to make the Eden to be the place it was. His job was just to dress it. Very easy job. Everything is already set. God has put the rose where the rose should be. You just trim it. God has put whatever where it should be. This in its place, that in its place. So Adam didn't need to wake up wondering, where should I plant the rose today? Oh, where should I put the orange tree? Where should I put the mango tree? God already planted everything perfect. Just look after it. God will restore all aspects of your life. Your duty will just be to keep it. And how do you keep it? By obeying God's word. That's all. We keep our blessing by our obedience to his word. And the devil can't get in because it's the spirit of disobedience. The only way we allow the devil in is through disobedience to the word of God. Disobedience was what made Adam to lose the garden. Isn't that so? So it's time for us to get back to the ways of the world and to trust in God. So, he will make a wilderness like Eden and a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found there. No more pain and sorrow of slavery and bondage. God is turning everything around for joy, for gladness. What God was about to do will make them forget about the 70 years of suffering that they were going through in Babylon. Because if God says joy and gladness will come, imagine these people have been in bondage. 70 years of hardship in a foreign land. But God says, well, I'm about to turn things around for joy. Jesus said, similarly under the New Testament, Remember when he was about to leave his disciples, preparing them, telling them, well, this night you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Because you see me crucified, but I will resurrect. The sorrow of crucifixion is going to lead to the joy of resurrection. He prepared them, but they didn't understand. He said to them, when a woman is in labor, she's in pain. I mean, the women amongst us understand this. They are in great pain. But when the child comes out, they forget about the pain because of the joy of the new baby that is born. So Jesus said the same thing to them. In other words, you'll be through pain when you see me suffer. But the same me that you see suffer, you see me resurrected. Your pain will lead to joy and rejoice. So all the pains you've been through in life, because of all the problems the devil has brought against you, God is about to turn everything around and bring you joy that will make you to forget about those pains. The joy that will make you to forget about all the sufferings of the past. Because God knows how to do this very well. Well, in case we are wondering, because again, the devil is very smart. When we are hearing the word of God, he's speaking immediately to our minds. You better don't listen to that fanatic. That's just a fanatic. He doesn't know what you have been through. If he knew what you have been through, he wouldn't be talking like that. Well, I'm not talking based on what you've been through. I'm talking based on what God, who created the heavens and the earth, said. Well, don't we remember Job? What was the latter end of Job like? What God did for Job at his latter end made him to forget about all the pain he went through, because he had twice as much. Everything was restored back to him. All the children. In fact, the daughters that God restored to Job after his suffering, Bible says no women were like the daughters of Job in the land. You understand what we're talking about? Now, do you think for a moment Job will be considering his past? No. The present is better than the past. He would gladly choose the latter hand than even the beginning before problem came. Because the God of restoration, when he steps in, not only will he restore to you, but he will compensate you. All you need to do is be faithful to him. Like Job remained faithful even in the time of suffering. And that's why God is coming to them in the land of suffering and giving them his word, so that they can hold on to the promises of God in faith, that well, God is going to come and take us back to where the enemy took us from. He's going to restore us, and he has promised to restore the land and make it even better than before. He's going to make it like Eden. We look forward to that. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet today. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want you to lift your hand to God. I may not know what you have been through. You may not know what I have been through. I may not know what you are going through right now. You may not know what I'm going through right now. But there is someone who knows about all that you have been through and all that I have been through, all that you are going through right now and all that I'm going through right now, and his name is God. The God that is able to turn our circumstances around for good and for joy. I want you to lift your hands to him and thank him for his word that we have shared this morning. And let him know that you believe his word as the truth, and you receive it. And as Mary said unto God through the archangel Gabriel, simply say the same to God: God, be it unto me according to your word. Do as you have said in your word unto me. Restore all areas of my life. I surrender all to you. Oh, I surrender all to you. You are able to give me a new and a bright experience in all areas of my life. You are able to turn all aspects of my life into joy and gladness because you are about to do something for me better than I've ever experienced in my past. So talk to him on that basis, and then we are going to sing this song together as our song of affirmation. The affirmation of our faith and trusting God that he will keep his word. You see, all that God wants us to do when we hear his word is to believe it and yield to him in hope and in faith. To say, Lord, you have promised, I'm expecting it to happen. As the clay would yield to the potter, God wants us to simply surrender to him. He knows how to take the clay and mold it into a beautiful vessel. He's the potter. He knows how to do his job. We just need to surrender. Faith is our step of surrendering to God because it means we agree with his word and we are saying, God, be it unto me according to your word. So talk to him. You can name all your problems one by one. I say, God, I thank you. You're about to turn this around for me. Oh, I thank you. You're about to turn this around for me. I thank you. You're about to turn this around for me. I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I give you praise for the spirit of agreement here this morning. As we all touch and agree together on the basis of your word. For Bible says, faithful are you who has promised, who also will do it. Thank you for restoration in all areas of our lives. No matter what we have been through. In the past, or what we are going through right now, we receive your word. And we say thank you for visiting us and turning everything around for joy and for gladness. Thank you. In Jesus' name.